You're listening to an African Elements top news story for April 6, 2026. Please visit our website at africanelements.org for more daily news. Why the federal judge blocked the race data mandate today. On April 3, 2026, the legal world and higher education landscape experienced a significant shift. U.S. District Judge F. Dennis Saylor IV issued a preliminary injunction that halted a controversial federal rule. This rule required colleges across the United States to submit massive amounts of student race data to the government. This mandate, known as the Admissions and Consumer Transparency Supplement, was a core project of the current Trump administration. The ruling came after 17 states and several advocacy groups filed a lawsuit to stop the collection. The administration argued that this data was necessary to enforce the law following the 2023 Supreme Court decision. That decision ended race-conscious admissions. President Trump and his Department of Education officials claimed that colleges might use hidden racial proxies to maintain diversity. They wanted 7 years of detailed information to check if schools were following the rules. The authority of the federal government to collect data on schools is over a century old. In 1867, the United States established the Office of Education. At that time, the goal was simple. The government wanted to know how many schools existed and who was attending them. Early commissioners like John Eaton found that the country lacked even basic lists of colleges. Tracking education was seen as a way to measure the progress of a growing nation. Following the end of the Second World War, the focus of data collection changed. The GI Bill of 1944 brought a huge wave of new students to campuses. For the first time, the government had a financial stake in who went to college and how they paid for it. This era established the idea that federal funding comes with the requirement to share information. This history shows that the government has always used data to understand the impact of its policies on the public. The modern era of tracking race in schools began with the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Title VI of this act was a landmark piece of legislation. It stated that programs receiving federal money could not discriminate based on race, color, or national origin. To make sure colleges obeyed this law, the government needed numbers. They had to see if specific groups were being excluded from opportunities. This created a new link between data and social justice. In 1966, the Higher Education General Information Survey, or HEGIS, became the first system to collect this data regularly. Later, in 1976, Congress told the National Center for Education Statistics to work closely with the Office for Civil Rights. They wanted to ensure that the numbers collected could actually help stop discrimination. This period shows a transition from just counting students to actively monitoring their civil rights. Today, understanding racial inequality in education requires looking at how these laws evolved over decades. While tracking data sounds easy, it places a massive burden on colleges and universities. When the ACTS mandate was introduced in 2025, higher education leaders were shocked. The Department of Education estimated the work would take over 740,000 hours for all schools combined. However, many college officials believed the real time required was much higher. They estimated that each school would need at least 200 hours to handle this one survey alone. Small institutions and historically black colleges and universities feel this pressure the most. These schools often have fewer staff members in their research offices. Complying with complex federal rules takes resources away from teaching and student support. Historically, federalism and black politics have often clashed over how much power the central government should have over local institutions. This new data mandate was seen as another example of federal overreach that hurt the very schools serving minority students. Advocacy groups are celebrating the ruling by Judge Saylor as a win for student privacy. The concern lies in how unit record data is used. This is data that tracks an individual student instead of just providing total numbers for a whole school. In 2008, Congress actually banned the government from creating a permanent federal student record system. They did this because they feared the government could use individual data to target students based on their identity. The ACTS mandate asked for very specific pairings, such as race and sex, combined with academic scores. Groups like the American Council on Education argued that this made it easy to re-identify students. In a small program, if there is only one black female student with a certain GPA, the government would know exactly who she is. This raises fears that the current administration could use this data to investigate schools that still value diversity. The success of African American students depends on having a safe environment where their data is not used as a weapon. Judge Saylor did not rule that the government can never collect race data. Instead, he ruled that the way they did it this time was illegal. Under the Administrative Procedure Act, government actions cannot be arbitrary and capricious. This means an agency must have a logical reason for its rules and give people enough time to respond. The judge found that the 120-day timeline for the ACTS mandate was far too short. The ruling pointed out that the Department of Education ignored the enormous burden placed on schools. They asked for 7 years of historical data that many schools did not even have in a searchable format. By rushing the process, the administration failed to have a meaningful conversation with the institutions. This lack of a rational connection between the goal of transparency and the chaotic rollout led to the injunction. It serves as a check against agencies that try to bypass proper procedures. A major part of this conflict involves what the administration calls hidden racial proxies. Since colleges can no longer use race as a factor in admissions, they look for other ways to understand a student. This includes things like zip codes, family income, or personal essays about overcoming hardship. The Trump administration argues these are just sneaky ways to keep using race-conscious admissions. They believe these proxies violate the Supreme Court ruling. However, social justice advocates argue that these factors are essential. They represent the lived experience of systemic racism that standardized tests often miss. Disaggregating data helps identify gaps that pan-ethnic labels hide. For example, the experiences of Southeast Asian students might be very different from other Asian American groups. Without these proxies or detailed data, schools struggle to create a fair picture of an applicant. The administration's attempt to label outreach to poor neighborhoods as a racial proxy is seen by many as an attempt to dismantle diversity entirely. To understand why schools are so afraid of these mandates, it is important to know the difference between Title VI and Title IV. Title VI is the law that says no discrimination. Title IV is the law that provides the money. Most colleges in America rely on over $120 billion in federal student loans and grants every year. This money is governed by Title IV of the Higher Education Act. The government uses the threat of losing Title IV funding to force schools to comply with Title VI. This is often called the power of the purse. If a school does not follow a data mandate like ACTS, the government can take away their students' ability to get federal loans. This would effectively shut down most colleges. The legal battle is not just about spreadsheets. It is about how the government uses financial pressure to enforce its specific political interpretation of civil rights laws. The blocking of the ACTS mandate creates a temporary pause in a much larger struggle. Research shows that since the ban on affirmative action, black student enrollment at selective colleges has started to drop. This is known as a downward cascade. High-achieving black students are often shifting to less selective institutions. These schools sometimes have lower graduation rates or fewer resources. Civil rights groups want data to track this trend and protect students. However, they are wary of the current administration using that same data to punish schools. The ruling by Judge Saylor highlights a recurring theme in American history. The country continues to struggle with how to measure education without violating privacy or fairness. For now, colleges do not have to provide the granular data the administration demanded, but the debate over how to ensure transparency without targeting is far from over. Copyright, African Elements.